Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Welcome to Wednesdays in the Word. We are in Joshua 5:15, and the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Heavenly Father, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your truths to us. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we are going to be talking about the key word feet and standing. And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. So if you look at feet and you just look up the dictionary definition of it, it's literally upon which an individual stands. If you look up the spiritual lexicon definition, it is the ability to endure a journey, a step, and pace. So going back and remembering that the commander of the Lord's army is Christ, and that take off means to shed, remove, release. Sandals, remember we talked about it was like utmost reference and humility. That remember it was valueless, those shoes, but it did provide basic protection. And now it's the fact that that basic protection was on the feet of which the person stood. It's the ability to endure the journey so that the bottom of your foot doesn't get as worn out or tired or punctured so that you can keep in pace and step. Well, in looking up commentary, it said, Matthew Henry says that the bare feet is a symbol of removal of worldly engagements and pollutions from the soul, S-O-U-L. But I'm thinking the soul, S-O-L-E, of the foot is referring for us about our soul. What is it that we need to lay bare? What is it that we need to remove that the world has entangled and ensnared and entrapped us with? And it's polluting us. And the one thing that I think of first and foremost for each of us is our time. The world steals our time, engages us in things, and they don't have to even be bad things, but they are time traps. Because if you stop and think about it, the main reason and the number one answer I receive when I am talking to a woman about her quiet time or her prayer life or verse mapping or Bible study, it usually comes down to, I desire it, I want to, I'm compelled, I would love, but I just don't have enough time. So one of the things that I and a few of my close, common Christian women are partnering on doing is we are being disciplined and accountable to each other for how we are choosing to prioritize our time. Now, if you think about what it is you have to do in a day, then you realize you have to do them. First and foremost, it's usually a job, whether that is out of the home or in the home. There is an amount of time each day spent in doing that task of job. Then there are things that just have to be done. Just the work around the house, the care for yourself or others. You may have children. You may have family that you care for. Cooking, cleaning, yard work, putting gas in the car. I mean, if you just think about it, getting yourself ready. If you think about all those things as tasks to endure, you have to do them. They are steps in your day. But if you really stop and intentionally look at what is just a worldly engagement versus the intentionality of me in the presence of my Lord and Savior. So what we are doing as accountability is, what can we do each day that makes sure that we are bare before the Lord and we allow Him to see that we are giving Him our priority? And I referred to it before, but it may be as simple as the minute you wake up, you acknowledge Him, you give Him reverence, you let Him know you are available to Him that day. It does not have to look like commentaries and your Bible and your journal and pens and highlighters all out. That does not have to be the first thing you do. Your ability to endure as you step through the day can start as simple as a humble surrender to Him to guide you just through that day, just that one day. One other commentary said that regularly renewing your commitment to God, remembering His faithfulness, knowing His promises are true, and transitioning from relying on the past provisions to trusting God has new ways He will provide for you in your life. But it needs regular renewal and commitment. Regular. So I don't know about you, but I think each day, each morning is a pretty regular. So like, think about things you do on the regular. I hope you brush your teeth. I make my bed. Those are regular things that I do. Those are just rhythms of my day. Even if, like, sometimes I shower at night, sometimes I shower in the morning. So I don't see that as regular as I brush my teeth every day, I make my bed every day. But I do know every day I'm going to get up, brush my teeth, put on a face moisturizer. I put lotion on my arms and my feet, legs. Put shoes on my feet. Think about those things that you do every day, almost without thinking, just like clockwork. So one thing that I offer you to do in addition to your I give you this day, rid me, fill me, send me, is think about those things that you do every day. Like, I'm not a coffee drinker. Maybe some of you get up almost without thinking and even maybe still in your PJs or your robe, and you go and you turn on a coffee maker. I just don't, but it might be your regular. Think about those regular rhythms of the day that you do every day. Maybe let your dog out. Maybe pull up the blinds to let the light in. I don't know, but you think about some of those morning rhythms. What if you attributed something with God that will help you step throughout the day, that will be meeting with God in His presence, and you adhere it to one of those regular rhythms? Let me give you an example. I am going to do something with my hair. Something with my hair. If it's not a shampoo day, if it's not a dry shampoo day, I'm at least going to comb it, or I'm going to put it up in a hair clip, hair claw, something. So when I touch or do anything, comb it, brush it, whatever, when I do anything to my hair in the mornings, I simply say the name of my husband, Clifton. I am giving Him, surrendering Him to God. That is a non-negotiable that I'm going to do every day, is something with my hair. So if it's already a rhythm that I'm doing, I'm attaching something with value to it, because I thought of my hair as like he is head of our home, head of the family. Then something that I do every day, like I said, is I put on lotion. So I'm already going to be putting the lotion on anyway. So when I put lotion on my left arm, I say the name of my oldest daughter, Hillary. But when I'm saying it, I am intentionally, with reverence, awe, humility, and in full surrender and in full trust in my mind and in my heart and in my soul, I am giving her to God. If I'm asking God to be with me that day, if I'm saying I give you this day, then I'm also giving him the people I love most and I'm trusting him with them that day as well. So my hair is Cliff. My left arm lotioning is Hillary. My right arm lotioning is Madison, the daughter that you hear at the table here with me. Then when I put lotion on my moisturizer on my face, I say the name of my son, Zane. When I put it on my left leg, I say, Dad. When I put it on my right leg, I say, Mom, because I'm standing on the legacy and faith of my parents. I'm only here because of my parents. So I know this root word originally we were studying was feet, that upon which we stand. Well, the legs upon which I stand, I give honor to my parents. Thankful to the Lord that they are still here with me. Then when I go to put lotion on my hands, I think of my son-in-law, Grady, who married my daughter, and I think Mickey, who is my grandson from Maddie and Grady. And then when I put lotion on my other hand, I think Faith, who married my son Zane, and I think Loretta, my granddaughter from Zane and Faith. It is that simple. It takes the same amount of time to offer those names humbly and with intention and surrender to God as I would have every morning. I'm not adding 1 second to my plate. I am maximizing the use of the seconds that I have, and I would have already been putting lotion on anyway. So all I am offering you to do is to help you with the ability to endure the journey of the day, to step and keep in pace with God, to keep from the worldly snares of engagement and pollutants of our soul. How can you start your morning with minutes that you would already be using? Maybe it's when you turn on the coffee pot, you surrender. And if it's not a person, maybe it's an issue that you're having, that you're facing. You say that issue out loud. Maybe when it's when you're pouring your coffee, you say another issue. When it's opening your blinds to let the light in, you say something else, or when it's letting that dog out. But think of the things that you're already going to do every day. Because then when you start doing them, you're not going to forget to be in communion with God while you're doing them. It's attributing a action, a thought, and a process to something you're already doing. So I just offer that to you. We, with accountability with each other in our little small group, are like we are preparing for that same battle that Joshua is. In fact, we're calling this Bible boot camp because it's like we are in the army of God under the commander of the Lord's army, Christ, and we have to do whatever we can to prepare ourselves for the day and to release to him the people we love, our issues, our problems, so that we can walk in complete faith, trust, and have that overwhelming joy. I'm going to read a verse, Exodus 19:12. Exodus 19:12. This was in cross-reference about the word feet that brought us to this that we're talking about. And you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot, whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. And that was about basically that we are standing as individuals and we are having parameters set. And this was Moses, who was a messenger to Israel from Mount Sinai. And this is when Moses was telling the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set limits for the people all around. And that's when he says, taking care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it, because whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. But basically he's saying, I want you to be disciplined. I am God. Do you trust that I am the I am? And so what I am realizing for myself is I have to set limits on how far I can allow my mind and my interests and things to just spiral ahead of me when he's saying, will you just stay in pace with me? Will you just stay in step with me? Will you just remove and release and humbly obey that I want you to just stay in step with me? I'm also going to read you Philippians 4:9, that idea that we need to seek a regular renewal and commitment. So part of my process that I was telling you about with the lotion is that I am committing regularly every day myself to God, and then I am committing and giving him the people that I love. I trust him with them. I don't always even know how to pray for them. I don't deep down really know what they need, and I can't fix it, plan it, go ahead of it, because God knows everything. So I just want to make sure as I am in the palm of God's hand that I replace those most critical to me, that I love the most, that he's blessed me with. He gave them to me. I'm giving them back to the palm of his hand. How? Daily. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. According to his riches, he will supply every need of mine according to his riches. So that's why I can't outthink him, outpray him, outask him. I just need to release what I have to him. I need to lay bare, like taking those sandals off the feet of Joshua. Now let's talk about place where you are standing. He said, take off your sandals from your feet. For don't rely on your own two legs, for the place where you are standing is holy. Place where you are standing, upright, it's your location, it's willing to remain at the same level, it's not moving. If you look at it with a spiritual slant, it is, what is the condition of your body and mind? Are you willing to abide and dwell and stay and be established and confirmed and ordained? It even says be employed. So are you willing to stand right there in that place? It's the readiness, the pre-readiness of our mind and our body. It says the encounter prepares Joshua for the battle. He was reminded, as we are now, that spiritual readiness is crucial for facing challenges in our own lives. Joshua realized that the battle would be won in the presence of God, in the humility that he was willing to stand there, that he was releasing control, that he was giving the victory to how God wanted the victory to come. He wasn't standing there giving the commander of the Lord's army ideas. He wasn't saying, well, you know, I've been thinking, I think maybe we could win this battle if, is that okay with you? Would you win this battle for me this way? He literally did what the commander asked, took off his shoes, because he knew the place where he was standing was holy. So then, I have another thing that I want to read to you. It's from Charles Spurgeon. It's the second part of what I said when we were talking about commander. Remember, it was, we have to understand the Lord's position in the midst of his people. Well, here's another one. We have to worship him who is present with us. Joshua, it is said, fell on his face to the earth, worshiping with his spirit at the lowliest prostrate of his soul, worshiping the Son of God. Then, when he did so, he was able to give himself up under the Lord's command. That's why he was like, "What saith my Lord unto this servant?" That was that verse that Maddie read to us, verse 14. What are you saying to me? What message do you bring? When we really imitate Joshua and we really fall to our knees and say, "Lord, what do you have for me?" We're giving up control. And then when Joshua put off his shoes from his feet, Joshua was doing the most solemn thing of surrender. He was just being very humble, and he was realizing this fight for God is a fight from God. That I am taking everything off that I would think I would need in an anticipation of the blessing and the victory. But it's God's work. It's not mine. Joshua would be used in the victory of Jericho, but it was Christ who was the conqueror. So when I have that ability to have that perspective, that if I realize my feet is nothing, there's nothing my feet can do, there's no steps that my feet can take, it is when I simply stand and remain and dwell and am immovable by the world, and I am established in God's word, and I'm basically doing nothing, not planning ahead, not running ahead, not trying to do or overdo or overwork, but I'm just trusting in him. I'm readying my mind. That's when Christ has the ability to have all the victory, because then it's nothing that Paulette did. So that's how we accomplish things. We accomplish things by actually abiding in him, walking in accordance with his word, in agreement with him, surrendering everything to him, rejoicing in him, and letting him work in his time, in his way, around us, through us, and by recognizing that he wants us to join him, be in step and at pace with him, established by him, standing on the word of God with him. It's beautiful. Here's another commentary. The necessity of shedding his shoes was laying down something ordinary. It symbolized him removing his self-reliance. It was a symbol of him accepting the commission that God had for him. And it said that it's the word of God, if we read it and study it, we see the covenant history always begins, succeeds, and ends only on God's terms, not ours. Not ours. We simply have to humbly acknowledge that no human workmanship ever can accomplish anything. It is simply the holiness of God within us, around us, and through us that can break all barriers. So that regular renewal of your commitment to God, it's laying down the things that are bothering you, troubling you, that Satan's trying to ensnare you with. It's giving him your problems. It's giving him the people that you love. It's giving him tomorrow. And you just worry about today. It's giving him and asking for forgiveness for yesterday, letting go of how Satan wants to trap you with your past. And it's asking God to keep you from worrying too much about your future. And it's just that one day at a time, one day at a time, one day at a time. So as Joshua was asked to just take off the sandals from his feet and stand in the presence of God, think about that for yourself today. How does it look like with a regular rhythm of renewed commitment every day at the beginning of your day? What does that look like for you to be in the presence of the holiness of God? May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.